Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast and another 2021 Rookie Profile. I am Mike, the feverish Fanero, and if this is your first listen, please make sure to subscribe so you don't miss one. My co-hosts Swags at Swagzilla0G and David Wright at FF underscore Spaceman are also releasing one of these weekly for a total of three Rookie Profiles a week. We're making them short and sweet, yet packing them with information you need to help you with your upcoming Dynasty Rookie Draft. One more thing that could help you do just that is my guest, the Pharaoh of Fantasy, co-founder of the Dynasty Trade Calculator, and Egypt's premier Dynasty expert, Izzy Elkafas. Thank you for coming on. It's been too long. How are you?
Good, good. You left out save a horse, ride a camel, you know?
I do like that. That's I was going to save that for the end. You know, you always got to save a little piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad to be back. It's been probably well over a year, I'm guessing, because it might have been around January, February. A little over a year then.
Yep.
They recorded last. So
too long. That's what it's been. Too long.
I appreciate you having me back.
Absolutely. Izzy, let's get right into this. You ready?
Let's do it.
Sweet.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right, you had your choice of any, well, I shouldn't say any. There was a list taken before.
It was slim pickings here. Let's not, I mean, you didn't leave me with much, but I was happy to get the guy that I got because I think I'm a lot higher on him than most people are.
Nice, good. And he's really a hot topic right now. Can you please tell our listeners who we're talking about and why you picked him?
Mac Jones. Yeah. I just found out that his first name is actually Michael, I think.
No way.
Yeah. So it is, he actually is Mike Jones, but I think his middle name is like Mick something.
Really?
His name is like Michael. You might have to fact check that while I'm talking here. But I think it's Michael Mick something Jones, and they call him Mac because it's Mick. So it's perfect.
Yeah, you won't find this like information. Even more. You won't find this information anywhere else. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed already.
I like him even more now, you know?
Yeah, I do
and
too.
And you should too.
I definitely do. It's got my name.
That's right. I'm excited to talk about him. Yeah, Michael McCorkle Jones.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, McCorkle Jones.
I would leave my name Mike so nobody looked up McCorkle.
There's something about it where that just... That's a star name. Like
you're digging it.
Yeah. Digging McCorkle. Here's the thing. If your name is McCorkle, you can't like, if that's your middle name and that's, you kind of like go by Mac for short, you can't be a bad player. Like,
okay.
You were meant to be a great player, which kind of surprised me with like John David Booty. Like that's a great, he should have been like an all time great. Cause that's a fantastic, it's a great quarterback name. It's like the name that you would like kind of like make up when you're like in like a Madden, like customizing Madden players, right? Even better if it was like Joe Booty, you know, like Joe Booty. But like John's fine too. McCorkle's good. I'm good with it.
You make salient points.
Yeah.
I mean these are really, really good points. Well, one thing that I do know about Mac Jones before we get into this is he's not particularly known for his mobility. He's actually known and sometimes even criticized for just being a pocket passer or game manager. Is this a concern for you?
No. I mean, would we like all our quarterbacks to be Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson? Yeah, sure. Dak. You look at even Aaron Rodgers, like he's got some mobility. Joe Burrow, like all of them have some sort of mobility. And I think just because Mac doesn't have for six speed. I think he clocked in at 4.8. That's perfectly fine for Mac Jones. He actually has some decent mobility. He's not a statue. And at the end of the day, like, sure, the NFL is kind of moving towards that as their preferred option, just because it adds kind of a dynamic ability. But Josh Allen's another one. Mm-hmm. There's still plenty of the older guys that are successful still today.
Absolutely.
That are not mobile quarterbacks. You look at the Matt Ryans, you look at the Tom Brady's, obviously Big Ben, you know, from a few years ago when he wasn't kind of like aging, Philip Rivers, when he wasn't aging, all these guys have been successful. Matt Stafford, not a super mobile guy. Jared Goff, not a super mobile guy. Like, they're all like solid quarterbacks. Drew Brees, obviously Peyton Manning, like, sure, they're just good football players. Like, they're good with accuracy. They're smart. They're cerebral. Like, they manage the game well, like all of that. And that's kind of where Mac Jones fits. So I'm not really worried about the lack of athleticism.
Devonta Smith, offensive line, Najee Harris, coaching, all of it was there at Alabama for him. Is he a product of that amazing supporting cast, or, you know?
No. I think this is like answer. I think it's the most overblown thing I've ever heard.
We got to bring this stuff up because everybody's talking about it.
It doesn't make any sense, though. You look at, he actually performed better than Tua, in my opinion. Statistics pretty much back that up as well. He was more efficient, threw for more touchdowns. Now I get it. Tua got hurt, so that kind of takes away from it a little bit. But efficiency-wise, I mean, he was like a 77.5% completion percentage, where Tua was 71. I think he had more yards per attempt. I'd have to double-check that. But the way I look at this is simple. Like, they talk about how stacked his team was. Jalen Waddle and Devontae. Well, Jalen Waddle got hurt.
Yep.
He, you know, I think he caught 24 balls. You look at Devonta Smith, fantastic. Heisman Trophy winner, sure. But Metch was the second best receiver there, like, with Waddle out. And listen, I like Johnny Metch, but he's not Jalen Waddle. He's not, you know, a healthy Jalen Waddle playing more than the few games that he played. He's not Henry Ruggs. He's not Jerry Jeudy. Like, so you had Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Smith with Tua. And then Jeudy and Ruggs are gone, and Waddle gets hurt. I call him Metch. You know, I give him my nickname, like, we're buddies. But Metch had four receptions only. Like, he was a wide receiver five. With Jalen out, he was a wide receiver two this year. Now, he played well, but he's nowhere near Jeudy, Ruggs, or Waddle as prospects.
Totally agree.
So it's, and Najee Harris was there last year, and he was gobbling up yards, and he was actually more efficient on the ground last year with Tua. So it's not like these guys weren't with Tua and then they were with Mac. He actually had a far worse supporting cast than Tua. And you can argue that he had, QBR wise, I'd have to double check this, but I believe he had the greatest QBR season in college football. I think he just beat Burrow. So you're looking at a guy, and Burrow had the whole shebang with him. So I don't know. I think if you're trying to nitpick at his offensive line and his offense, and if you like Tua, you should love Mac Jones.
To your point, 77.4% completion, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns with only four interceptions. That's one hell. Oh, and a championship. That's one hell of a season.
Yeah.
And then all we're talking about, and that's why I led with these two questions, is because anytime you do any research on these on Jones, the knock on him is he's not the other four guys who are mobile. He's the fifth guy. That seems to be, and it's always, he's always called a statue or a game manager. But yet I also hear wonderful things like extremely accurate, smart, you know, like stuff that you want out of a quarterback. What does Mac Jones do really well that makes him, or will make him, successful in the NFL? What are the things he does really well?
I think it's everything up until, it's the processing, right?
Okay.
It's just kind of seeing, there are certain quarterbacks where the game just feels slow for them, right? So they process things at a much quicker pace. So any, like, right before the snap to right before he releases the ball, that is where Mac Jones thrives. Like, all of that is really good. I don't think you can find anybody that'll say Mac Jones does not work the pocket really well. He's got good feet in the pocket. He uses his head well in the pocket. He's accurate, even though it's post-throw. So there's a lot to like in between, you know, right before the snap and right before the release, which is the stuff that you can't teach for the most part. And sure, certain athletic traits you can't teach either, but it's really hard to like, I think that's an instinct that not everybody has and not everybody can really tap into. And he has that. So you're looking at a guy that's really smart. I look at him as basically a less athletic Joe Burrow. Everything kind of lines up with Burrow. 1 year wonder, you know, quote unquote, great offense, just being not a primary like runner, but can run. That's where Burrow's advantage is. Like he's more of a, he can get out and make plays with his legs, but that was also kind of a concern with Burrow's like, is he athletic enough? And he is absolutely athletic enough. So like with Mac, it's the same thing. 1 year wonder, and I get it, but just because Tua played an extra season or two doesn't mean that Tua was a better prospect than Mac Jones. Which is Mac Jones had to wait until Tua was gone before he got his crack. And he showed out just as good. In my opinion, he showed up better. And especially considering the weapon difference.
I was going to say, I love that you flipped the weapons argument on its rear by saying, wait a minute, he had less weapons than his predecessor and did extremely well. What kind of draft capital do you believe NFL teams are going to pay for this player? It's first round. But
so here's the thing. Fantasy players love athletic quarterbacks and the whole thing.
Yep.
Right?
Rightfully so.
I feel like GMs, NFL GMs, will like Mac Jones more than a lot of fantasy guys will. Because he doesn't provide, like Mac doesn't provide the ceiling that fantasy players want. But at the end of the day, for GMs, they just want to win.
Yep.
And Mac Jones he's not AJ McCarron, right? He's much better than AJ McCarron. So he's a guy that can actually get you wins as a franchise quarterback. You can build around Mac Jones and you can have him run your offense really well. And you can give him the keys a lot earlier than you can some of these other mobile guys where they may have this, you know, it may not be accurate, but that's the stigma. Like, oh, just because they're athletic, they can't do those things where some of them can. So I think he's going to be a top 15 draft pick.
That sounds pretty safe.
Yeah. I don't know how he makes it past the Patriots unless the Patriots for some reason really like Cam Newton. And I don't know why, but, or if they trade for Jimmy G or bring somebody else in, but I don't see him making it past 15.
Superflex rookie draft. When are you pulling the trigger on Mac Jones?
I draft for value.
Okay.
So
makes sense.
If I'm not going to take Mac Jones just because I may like Mac Jones more than player X, I'm going to take Mac Jones where I feel like he's a good value. So I never, and this is a very big tip for dynasty players, I understand the get your guy, but you should get your guy within the construct of value. So instead of getting your guy at, let's say I'm at 105, instead of getting my guy at 105, I'm trading down to 110 and getting my guy plus some extra equity. Mm-hmm. If you take him at 105, you lose all that equity gap between 105 and 110. So it doesn't make it, even if it's something small and you know you can get him at 110,
sure,
do that. That's kind of where my range is for Mac Jones. Looking at it from the players ahead of him, even if he goes to the Patriots, I think the Patriots at this point, we like that landing spot, but we're starting to get to the point where we're kind of bored of that landing spot. So if he goes to Carolina, I can see him going a little bit higher. I'd say right around 110 to 114 is his appropriate range. I understand you got Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Najee Harris, Ja'Marr Chase, Trey Lance, ATN, Wilson, Williams, Smith, Pitts.
Yeah.
Superflex, maybe.
Probably.
So, I think you can wait to 111. Bateman, you might be able to wait to 112. I would not. If I'm at 112, that is when there's no shot I'm letting
him slide.
Him slide.
Yeah.
110. 110 is like where I might consider it, but for me, quarterback is king.
What do you think his ceiling is and his floor? How good can he be? But if he lets you down, how would he do it?
Good question.
How bad would it be? Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're talking about five guys pretty much all the time. They're not all going to hit. And, you know, maybe one falls flat on their face.
Yeah. I think ceiling, you're looking at Matt Ryan type.
Okay. Yep.
Love that where he's not like the best quarterback or the second best quarterback or the third best quarterback. Even in fantasy, he might have a top five dynasty or dynasty season or fantasy season, but I can see him being a long-term top 10, but a guy that never cracks the top five.
Got it.
And for fantasy purposes, I think his ceiling is probably right around low QB one, but I think his floor is really good. But I think his floor is where Goff is now. The thing is with Goff, and this is another thing too, and you might ask me what his weaknesses are later on, so maybe I should hold it, but I'll get to that later. But I think like a low QB2 is his floor. I don't think he's a guy that bombs in the NFL. I view him, if like Goff can do it, I think Mac Jones can do it.
I like it. I think you made me visualize his ceiling and floor so well. I think the Matt Ryan thing is perfect. And it also goes along with, you know, Matt Ryan's not mobile. So it just kind of made me feel like, okay, I get this. Like, I get where you're going.
And Matt Ryan wasn't, like, when he was young, Matt Ryan could scoot a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know, I think he was also in the 4.8 range. So I'd have to double check that. But he can get yard when needed to. But there are guys that run relatively fast that don't run, like Baker Mayfield. He doesn't run really, but he can run.
Yep.
But everybody loves him in Dynasty. And he doesn't have a rocket arm, and you know, but we like him. So I don't see why not with Mac.
What's the best landing spot? Which NFL team?
Carolina.
Yeah.
You get Joe Brady, very similar to Joe Burrow, right? Maybe a notch below Joe Burrow, a couple notches maybe. But I think Joe Brady, with the weapons that they have there in Carolina, you got a safety outlet with McCaffrey. You got the receiving core.
It's a great spot for any
club. Yeah, absolutely. So I think Carolina, if he goes 8 at Carolina, if he falls into the 110, past 110, you're getting an absolute steal. Because you have to understand, too, we look at guys in the past, like Case Keenum, like Matt Castle, where Nick Foles. If you get a good landing spot, even if you're not great, you will be good. If you're good and you have a bad landing spot, you may never actually be good. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So if he lands to 8 at Carolina, he just needs to be okay to be good.
And we've seen it. We've seen it happen. So I totally get that. If he's in Carolina, let's put him there.
Mm.
They put the card in. Boom, he's going to Carolina. That's exactly, you know, your dream spot for him. What are his realistic expectations for year one?
It depends. It depends if they give him the keys right away.
Let's say he does.
He's the guy.
Let's say he gets them straight up. Yeah, they just love him in training camp. We listened to Izzy. We drafted him. and we're sure glad we did. What does he do year one? Is he a QB1 year one? Or is that too unrealistic?
Yeah, it's unrealistic.
Okay.
No, it's not like it's possible, right? He could do what a lot of these guys have been doing when they're young. But I think we get in the habit of projecting success based on other guys that have been successful and not considering that there's been plenty of other guys that haven't been.
Oh yeah.
So whenever we see the guy that we like that lands at, goes to Carolina, has all these weapons, and we're like, oh, he's going to be Herbert. He's going to be Baker Mayfield as a rookie, but he could also be Tua as a rookie.
Absolutely.
So I would say safely, if he got the keys right away, I'd say mid QB two.
Okay.
He's not going to win you games, not going to lose you games. He'll probably, the nice thing about Carolina is they got guys that can do it after the catch. So he might not. And once again, this goes to the point where, like, almost like Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, where he's putting up stats. So let's just say this, Jimmy Garoppolo type season as a rookie, because Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't that good, but his team made him look good. The scheme was good for him. Everything was yard after the catch. Everything was inflated because of the skill positions around him and the scheme that he was put into. So I view that as where Mac Jones in his first year could be.
I love that. The tendency in these rookie profiles is to just gush about a player and just give unrealistic expectations. I've heard ceilings. I've heard floors. I think a lot of your stuff is very grounded. Let's ground it one more step further. What are his weaknesses?
Well, he doesn't have a cannon, right? I think we all know that. He's not going to be a guy that's going to rush for crazy amounts of yards. We all know that. The one thing that people don't talk about that I think is that's a big weakness for me is, and I don't know why we don't talk about it, Sam Darnold did this a lot too, and I didn't like this coming out for him either. If you watch, especially like if you pull up like the Georgia tape, for instance, he reacts to pressure that isn't there. And he throws off platform a lot. He leans back on throws when pressure hasn't even gotten there. And that's why when I said right before pre-snap and right before release is where he's really good. And I didn't go at release where he's really good, because too far off, and like there won't be a guy that's closing down on him, but in his mind, he might be feeling the pressure. He might be timing the pressure, and he's short arming the throw, just kind of like throwing it. He's not stepping into the pass. You can get away with that in college. Right. You're not going to get away with that in the NFL. And Sam Darnold's had that problem. He's turned the ball over a lot. But that being said, Mac Jones is a lot more accurate than Sam Darnold was. And I worry about that, especially year one for Mac. The fact that he's doing that behind Alabama's line, I worry about him doing that behind a poor offensive line, because he might be a guy like similar to David Carr when he came out. When he gets hit the first few times, he's going to keep expecting to get hit, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. That's his bust potential right there. If he can overcome that, he'll be really good. Jared Goff also seems to have this problem. Not as bad, but Jared Goff, once he started getting hit, he's become more and more skittish and not as confident throwing the football. So that's my biggest weakness for him. If he can overcome that, I think he'll be good. Because the rest of it is, that's the debilitating one, where that could cause him to lose his job and be a dead asset on your team. The rest of it is like, it just limits his upside.
Well, I asked you to ground us a little further. You did that.
Yeah. Well, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And I noticed you snuck in some positives during that question too. So yeah.
It's like, hey, it's, you know, on the job, they ask, you know, so, yeah, you know, what do you need to work on? Or, you know, right. I'm not going to say, well, I'm a perfectionist. You know, I'm going to tell them, but at least turn it, you know, sugarcoat a little bit.
Exactly. From a prospect point of view, if Mac Jones was in last year's QB class, Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Jordan Love, Hurts, where does he slot in?
Third,
right behind Tua. Right behind Tua. You still Tua above, though.
I was never big on Tua. So, and I'm big on Mac. So, yeah, I think that's safe. I wasn't big on Hurts. Wasn't big on Jordan Love. Wasn't even big on Herbert, but I wouldn't. I mean, obviously, I'm taking Herbert over Mac Jones. That'd be insane. Obviously, I love Herbert. Now, I somehow managed to get a few shares of Herbert just because nobody was in love with Herbert. So I picked him up late in first rounds. And it was, you know, mid to late. He was going like 108, 109, and really good landing spot, good weapons. So I picked him up. So, you know, hindsight's like, I wish I would have gotten more and taken him at 105, 106 when I had the chance. But so I have zero Tua and a few Herberts and hopefully a lot of Max.
It's like if you're investing in stocks and then one of the lower ones that you kind of threw in there because you're like, it was a cheap stock and you're like, I'll just throw some money at that. And you only threw like $200 at it. And you're like, oh my God. Why did I only throw $200 at that stock? Like it kills you, but you know why you only did that. So
it's true.
Yourself up about it.
You know, I will say something about Tua. I've been really hard on him in the offseason. I actually have been hard on him for like the last year. But I've been harder on him throughout the course of the season just because he's gotten benched multiple times and so on and so forth. He's such a likable guy. I will say I spent a lot of time last month or so kind of taking time to watch him again. And I'm a lot more optimistic than I was going in. So I don't want to dog Tua too much. I think he's better than I'm giving him credit for. I wouldn't vouch for him to say that I think he's going to be like wildly successful, but I think he's a guy that could be, you know, like just a QB2 for a long time. Like, I think that's reasonable.
So I'm going to give you a player comp reaction. So I'm not asking you to comp Mac Jones to anyone. I'm going to give you a comp that I saw on Bleacher Report. Yes, listeners, I actually cited my source this time. Phillip Rivers.
Oh no, he's way more mobile than Phillip Rivers.
Okay, good. See the statue comparison once again?
It's just not... There's a difference between being able to run and not choosing to.
Right.
So like Teddy Bridgewater, for instance, he's mobile enough when he wants to be.
Yep.
But Jameis Winston, mobile enough if he wants to be, but he chooses not to a lot. And that's the same thing with Philip Rivers. Can't, even when he was younger, he struggled to really be a threat when the pocket broke down. He didn't have that kind of juice. I'm curious to see what young Philip Rivers ran in the 40, but I don't see the Philip Rivers, maybe Philip, but Philip Rivers had a better arm than Mac. So yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it for Philip or for Mac. Gotcha. Let me look this up while we're talking. But what, yeah, go ahead next.
It's what he ran on the 40s. Are you looking up or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what Philip Rivers
probably going to be pretty slow.
Yeah, he ran a 5.1.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's not even close. He's always been a guy that struggled to run.
San Fran might be really in at pick number 3 overall. Do you like that landing spot?
No, oh, yeah. I mean, effing love it. I mean, he goes 3. That would be amazing. I just don't think that's the case. If he goes 3.
Well, we know San Fran's picking a QB at 3.
If he goes 3, he'll be a low-end QB1.
Gotcha.
Because you got Ayuk, you got Debo.
Oh, yeah.
You got Kittle. Yep. You got that offense. Like, they've schemed so well.
Absolutely.
Yards after the catch. They just do. And he's like, he would be such a good, he's so much better than Jimmy. Like, Jimmy is a one, he doesn't process the game. Like, he has his one read. If his read's not there, he has a difficult time doing anything else with the football. That's kind of been my issue with him for the last 2 years. Ever since he's been a starter, like, that's the thing that I keep pointing to people. It's like, he can't process. Like, after his first read, it's done. He's done. It's over. No progression after that. And Mac definitely has much further past that in terms of skill. So I think that would be a phenomenal landing spot. I just don't think it happens. I think Kyle Shanahan is young enough. He understands the game enough. I think that he looks at a guy like Fields or Trey Lance,
yeah,
and says, if I can get a guy that could be a game breaker on the ground, I think Trey Lance is probably going to be the pick. If I can get a guy that can do everything that I can't teach and help on the ground and manufacture for, I can do the rest. And I think he can do that with Trey Lance, who's a really smart guy, by the way. So I think Trey Lance goes 3, but if Mac Jones somehow went 3, over the moon.
We are going to turn the page from Mac Jones and go to 2 last questions, then I'm going to get you out of here. First one, who's your guy in this year's 2021 draft? Who are you hanging your hat on? No ifs, ands, or buts. This guy's a lock.
Yeah, so if you saw my bio, it's been up for a few months. Rashad Bateman's my guy. The 4.38 thing kind of sucks because he's not 4.38. That's complete joke. He's more of a maybe high 4.4s, low 4.5s, which is totally fine. He doesn't need to be that much faster than that. Plenty of good receivers in that range. The reason why I like him is that I think he's got a very high floor. I've comped him to Thielen. Miles Austin's a really good comp for him too. I think he's a guy that could be a low end wide receiver 1 for a really long time, right out of the gates too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, not right out of the gates, be a low wide receiver 1, but I think he could be a good player right out of the gates. I think he's ready to rock right away. Assuming that, you know, this him sitting out for most of the season last season doesn't affect him, but super high on him.
What's your favorite attribute from him? Like, what's the thing that just puts you over the moon with him? Is it just that he does everything well, or?
He's a fantastic route runner. I think that's easily hands, route running. I'm very big on technical players. If you can run routes and you can, you know, catch everything that's thrown your way, I love you. Like, yeah. I'm in, right?
And coaches do too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's, and he's really good. There isn't anything that he's bad at.
Gotcha.
He's good at everything.
Gotcha. All right. Last one. One guy you will not touch and everyone will overdraft.
It's too early. Early for that because we don't know landing spots yet.
Yep.
There isn't anybody that at the right price, I will take just about anybody.
It's a good answer.
Because I've been low on players before, and I've found myself like I was really low on Jalen Reagor last season. I was kind of the most vocal on Jalen Reagor, like not being it. And I still managed to get him in a couple leagues just because he fell to like the 201 or 112.
Right.
I was like, okay, yeah, I'll take him here. And if I'm wrong. I like hedging my bets too. There isn't anybody in this industry or in the NFL or ever that's had like even a 70% success rate. Yep. It's just like gambling. It's just like sports betting. You can be the best sports bettor in the world, and the best case scenario is you're winning 55%. Maybe if the cards start hitting right, you're 60%. But you don't need to be 70% to be really good and have the advantage. You just need to be in that 55% range and you're winning over the long run. So there isn't anybody that I can say I'm not going to touch. I think I'm lower on a lot of guys than most analysts are, but that doesn't take me out of the running if I'm in a league where people just let a guy fall.
That was such a dynasty trade calculator value answer. I loved it. Like, I mean, what a way to bring back value. That was,
dude,
that
it's such a
good answer.
It's a hedge against myself too. Yeah. And a lot of people should be doing this.
Yeah.
Like the guys that you love and the guys that you hate, yep. You should be getting guys that you hate too, just because sure. You don't want to not only hate the guy and look like a fool in all your podcasts and all your write-ups and in all your Twitter posts,
yep.
And then have nothing to show for it. You should hate your guys and say, you know what? In the chance that I'm wrong, which is probably more like a coin flip, I'm going to pick up this player in a couple spots just in case. Because you don't want to be over, just like diversifying a portfolio. You don't want to be 50% market share on one guy. No matter how confident you are in that one guy, it could be wrong.
I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. You mentioned Herbert earlier. I wasn't as high on Herbert as the other quarterbacks in that class. And in fact, I wound up owning a decent amount of Herbert because of how late he was going in drafts, to your point. Like, eventually I'm like, what if I'm wrong about Herbert? I like that he was athletic enough, that he was mobile enough. I kind of dug that. I liked his landing spot. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this because he's dropping this far. He shouldn't be this far as a QB. So, no. You know, that's one of the reasons I own some Herbert shares.
Yeah. And I would have said before this 40 dash time, I would have said I'm probably not going to have too much Javonte Williams shares. I've kind of been vocal on him relative to, you know, his teammate in North Carolina, Michael Carter, who's been just as productive as he has in college. And now the 4.58 talk might actually drop him enough to where I'm going to probably get quite a bit of Javonte Williams, right? Just because people tend to gravitate towards that,
sure,
as an important feature, which, to me, you can be 4.4, you can be 4.6 as running back. We've seen a plethora of running backs come in that are 4.6 and be really, really good. Like all Hall of Fame good and really good in Dynasty.
Izzy, thank you so much for joining me. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, anything else you have coming up or you might want to promote, please.
Don't have anything to promote, just like a viral tweet. I'm not going to promote anything. Just donate to your local charity. DTC_IzzyE on Twitter. I periodically tweet some decent content, and you can find me at Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. You won't forget it. It's pretty simple. Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast on iTunes, or I think we have it a couple other places, but just go to iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, I don't know why you don't, but just whatever Android system has the pie, we're there too.
So modest. Thanks again, Izzy. And thank you, our listeners, from everyone at Rookie Fever, Swags at Swagzilla0G, Dave, the Spaceman, Wright at FF_Spaceman, and of course myself. Thank you. We appreciate you. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review, and please do not forget to be awesome.